Okay, season 5, here we go.
Welcome to InVibes Podcast, home of good music, good libations, and good vibes. Now here is your host, Eric Mylitz, and producer, Ernest Stevenson.
Welcome back to InVibes Podcast, season 5, motherfuckers. Welcome back. We're so happy to be back, man, at our home sweet home, Tommy's Pub. We got a special guest today. We'll talk about him in a minute, man. But, man, it's good to be back. We've been gone a while, so we got a lot to talk about as far as what we've been doing since we've been gone. But season 5, episode 1, with special guest Faze God. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. How you doing, man? Good, happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's not too far. I mean, there was a few...
Couple weeks
ago, yeah.
But still, Happy New Year, they don't know.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Man, everyone knows when I'm here at Tommy's, I'm drinking Magners, but something happened. I don't know. Apparently can't get Magners anymore in North Carolina.
So nationwide shortage.
I know. So, yeah. Well, so I had to change it up today. Drinking Austin's East Side Ciders, original dry cider. It's good stuff. Rumor has it, speculation is that Blake's Cidery out of Michigan just bought Austin's East Side Ciders. So,
oh yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that soon, man. I really like Blake's. Blake's makes some solid stuff. So, and they're from my home state, man. So, and of course, Jameson, man, can't go anywhere without Jameson. What are you drinking, man? What do you got there?
Listen, I'm a cheap thrill kind of person, so I just went ahead and got Ham's beer.
Man, that's all. That's a solid classic,
yeah, yeah,
man.
Yeah. And y'all upgraded me to Jameson. I wasn't expecting a cup of Jameson, but I guess wires got crossed. There was some miscommunication, and an extra glass of Jameson got
surprise!
Placed in front of me. So yeah. That's how you start off the new season. So yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm drinking nice over here.
Ernie, I think I know what you're drinking, but. Let everyone else know.
I have Jameson.
Oh, and, yeah. And your beer?
The
hot drop.
Oh, wait. No.
No?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm fucked
Tommy's
up.
Tommy's Pub Ale.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. From Pilot Brewing.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal Pub Ale. This one, they stuck Tommy's name on, and it's even better.
Yeah. Oh, well. One of these days, I'll sniff it again. So I'm sure it's good. Anyways, we'll talk about what we've been doing later. Right now, Faze God's in the house, man. Thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thank you.
Ernie was down at a music event in Rock Hill.
Okay.
Don't Sweat It Fest.
That's right.
September of last year.
I saw the footage that he shot of you, and I was like, yo, we need to have that dude on the show, man. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So are you from Rock Hill?
No, born and raised in Charlotte.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir. But Rock Hill's I have a good amount of history in like the music scene of Rock Hill. So that's kind of where I got a lot of my start from. So I'm in Rock Hill more often.
Okay.
Then I probably like to admit. So
I call it. I call it.
You know Leon?
I'm sorry.
You know Leon?
Leon and the Ascension.
Yeah,
that's my dog. Yeah. Shout out Leon. His drummer is my drummer. We share drummers.
Okay.
So shout out Wall B3 and shout out his whole band. His whole band is incredible. So yeah, definitely shout out Leon and the Ascension.
Awesome.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I call it Rock Vegas.
Rock Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect. Yeah, that's yeah.
I like Rock Hill though. So funny.
Same.
When I first moved down here, I moved to Fort Mill, South Carolina, and I used to do my laundry at the laundromat across from Winthrop down in Rock Hill. My wife was going to college at the time. I was doing laundry across the street. We were that close to each other. Never knew it. And then like 20 years later, we had met. So it was weird.
Meant to be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself. You said you're from Charlotte. What got you into rhyming, man?
What got me into rhyming? Well, born and raised here in Charlotte. I've always been like a person of words. So I was always like writing stuff as far as like, you know, short stories, poems, things of that nature. So rhyming just kind of came naturally, because also as far as music, my dad does music. So he's like a saxophonist. So
okay.
he plays a plethora of other instruments, but like saxophone is like his specialty. But there was always music in the house. There was always some creativity going on. And then I kind of gravitated towards like the written form of it, which ended up evolving into like the performance part. So, you know, doing the rhymes, doing the raps out loud, you know, performing in front of people. That's where everything kind of stemmed from there. It really kind of, I mean, I always watched the rap music videos, always wanted to like be a rapper per se. But when I really kind of started like taking it seriously as like an art form, definitely when I was like more in like middle school or high school, really kind of seeing the response I was getting from other people, that they were actually enjoying it, actually like what they were hearing. So I kind of wanted to see, you know, little by little, how far I could take it. And from there on, I just grew to where I'm at now, which is, you know,
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, man. It's been a lot of fun just being able to create the music that I want to create and then be able to perform it where I want to perform it at. So yeah, it's been really dope. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I had told Jamie we're going to record with you here. He goes, oh man, I know him. He's played at Tommy's quite a few times. So yeah.
Shout out Jamie.
Yeah. I love Jamie. We love Tommy's Pub too, man. So,
to me, Tommy's is a staple of the Charlotte music scene.
It is, man.
Anyway, I mean, it's given so many artists a chance that are starting out. So, definitely.
I've seen a lot of great, great, great bands here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Started out, and it's always cool to come early and see, you know, like the bands you ain't heard of yet that open for other artists here. So yeah, Jamie's always awesome on that.
What been some of your favorite bands that you've seen at Tommy's?
Oh man, No Anger Control, obviously the Body Bags, which are going to be on the show soon. Look out for them.
Yeah.
Oh god, damn, who else has played here? Oh, well, I don't know.
The Moonshakers.
Did I see them here?
No, you didn't, but I did. Okay. I liked them.
I was like, wait a minute, I don't know.
Van Huskins.
Yes, the Van Huskins. Anti-Scenes played here before. Yep, I've seen them here. Trash Room.
Mercury Dimes.
Yes. Gotcha. And there's one more that hit my tongue. It's all right, though. I'm like a dog that sees a squirrel later.
$1,000 movie.
Oh. Sorry, Jeremy. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. You know what? I'm not sorry, because I've never seen $1,000 movie.
Have you not?
I've never come here when they were playing. No.
Oh, dude.
You have. Missing out.
Several times. Here and other places. Yeah, they're phenomenal.
I've seen them.
For an instrumental, they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Fire.
That's all right. That's all right. Jeremy's band, $1,000 movie. He's also the Sunday bartender here.
Ah.
He makes some phenomenal drinks.
Uncle Jerry's Tiki Bar.
That's right, yeah.
Every Sunday here at Tommy's Pub.
Yeah.
Unless he's on tour.
Right.
Fire. Which,
yeah.
Big fire. Hell yeah.
So, what's your latest album? I was going through Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's not Energy, right?
It's not. So the latest full project that I dropped is Ayo Face Oh Go. That dropped back in like 2020. That was back in 2020. I've been dropping singles since then. Energy is probably one of my favorite ones that I've dropped since then, because it features one of the most prolific rappers that you wouldn't see coming, Lil B, the bass guy. So shout out Lil B. Yeah. So that's definitely one of my favorite joints. So it's funny that you bring that up. But since then, it's just been a lot more singles. That's really all I dropped last year was singles. But yeah, no, Ayo Phase Will Go was the actual last project that I actually dropped that had like, you know.
Where do you record at?
Wherever I can, whether it be at my home, whether it be at a studio. I recorded Ayo Face Will Go when I was living in Durham a few years ago. So
okay, right.
Yeah. So that was recorded at a studio up there in Durham. Everything else has been a mix of just like home recordings, random recordings at different studios in and around Charlotte. I really been trying to focus more on just recording myself.
Who produces your music? Is it you?
I can. I don't produce my own stuff. I like working with other producers. Okay. So depending on what you're listening to, I kind of cycle between a few producers that I work with. For example, like the Energy that we're playing now, that's produced by a man with antlers that I've had different projects with. The last project I dropped, Ayo Fazo Go, is produced by a guy named Monk Beats, who's in Brazil. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So shout out my guy Monk Beats out there in Brazil. I tend to work with people that I feel I can work with on a creative level and really drop a whole project with them, as opposed to just like one song here, one song there. Yeah. You know, I really like to catch that vibe and really work together with folks.
Singles do much better than just
and they do, a whole album.
But,
absolutely.
But still, you want to put out a whole album. So how'd you hook up with the guy in Brazil?
Honestly, it was one of those situations where I was surfing YouTube beats. I don't know if you're familiar with just like beats on YouTube, but you know, you find one and you just go down a rabbit hole of just different producers with different beats. And I don't even remember. I think I randomly just came across something that caught my ear. And if it catches my ear, chances are I'm gonna go to his whole YouTube page and just listen to what else he has. And if the sound is intriguing me enough to where it's like, oh, damn, I want to rap on all this stuff.
Yeah.
I felt the need to just go ahead and reach out to him and be like, hey man, listen, I'm really rocking with your production. I want to go ahead and work with you on some stuff. We talked the numbers, we talked the whatever situation made us both comfortable. And then from then on out, he sent me what I needed. I recorded what I needed and we just knocked it out. So awesome. Shout out Mom, man. Absolutely. And he actually, along with that project, he actually did the beat for one of the other singles that I dropped. Go Again. So so just continuing to work with people like that even after the initial project is what I'm big on, because I'm always just big on maintaining that relationship and just working with people like that. So absolutely.
That's awesome, man. When I hear your, first of all, we had talked about this earlier, and whenever I see your name, Phase God, I see that PH and the God, and I just my mind says Fife Dog.
It's crazy you brought that up. That blew my mind.
I was like, oh man. And there's been quite a few times when I tell people, I'm like, yo, we're about to have Fife Dog in the show. They're like, what? I'm like, oh shit, no. I mean, Phase God. They're like, dude.
So you're over here doing necromancy, bringing people back from the dead. Rest in peace, Fife Dog.
Man, you know, back when we still had Tremont, he played Tremont. I couldn't afford to go, so I went there. I snuck into the parking lot and I sat on the loading dock.
Wow.
Because that loading dock door was like halfway cracked open because they didn't have any AC at Tremont, man. So me and my wife were just sitting there listening to Fife Dog.
That's fire.
And about halfway through the show, the monsters are like, yo, you have a ticket? Or like, no. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yo, why he came, man? That's crazy.
That's all right. I mean, I didn't see him, but I still got to hear him. So.
Facts. How was that listening to him?
Man, it was dope. He did a lot of Tribe songs. Mm-hmm. That, you know, of course, his verse and those songs. But then he did a bunch of.
So it was just Fife Dog? It wasn't the whole tribe? It was just
it was just Fife. So,
I got you.
I've yet to see Q-Tip. I know Tribe's DJ, I forget his damn name. He was in town recently. He's doing like a jazz project now.
Interesting, that's dope.
He did like a jazz show at Amos's, and I miss that show, man. Rest in peace to our boy Hashim. He went to that show, man. I missed it. Man, you know, Crown Station here in town.
Absolutely.
Gets a lot of those shows too, man. So, and I missed them all. I know MC Smooth played there recently. MC Search was going to play there, but he canceled, man.
I'm not sure you know. I actually opened up for Keith Murray.
Did you?
I would have formed last year at Crown Station. So yeah. So I got to meet with him, rap with him. Matter of fact, I actually got to freestyle right in front of him, right next to him on stage that same night. So that actually was kind of crazy. So shout out Keith Murray, man. Yeah,
that's awesome. A friend of mine's frat is here in town. He was telling me that what the hell's his name? The dude from. God damn it, I'm drawing a blank now. Not Pete Nice from third base. Greg Nice lives here in town from Nice and Smooth. And so does Grand Poobah.
Understood. I might need to get familiar. You might. Yeah. I might need to do my homework on that one.
Oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold up. Play some Grand Poobah. Reel to wheel. So Grand Poobah was in.
I got Grand Poobah. I just didn't know the artist.
Greg Nice. Nice and smooth. Sometimes it rhymes slow. Sometimes it rhymes quick.
I got to get my shit together, man. Oh. See, you got to put me on.
All right. On that note, I was going to save this question for later, but let's just do it now, man.
Let's do it.
Who is, in your opinion, I'm not going to say the greatest MC of all time. Who's, in your opinion, is the greatest MC of all time?
Of all time? That's such a
big... Okay, all right.
No, I mean, like,
give me a top five.
Don't give me a top five. You just trying to get me cussed out by everybody.
No.
That's such a setup question.
We have said fuck Elvis on this show before, so it's all right. You okay,
listen,
man?
I wouldn't I couldn't disagree with it. But first and foremost, Jesus. The best MC as far as like quality, consistency, bar for bar that I've heard on a consistent basis has been Black Thought. Okay. So, when you want to talk like rap, it's going to be people like Black Thought for sure. Right. So if you want to talk about MCs, lyricists, and people that like really go in depth that I've heard, the people that really have stand out that I can remember off top, we're definitely talking about Black Thought. We're talking about folks like Big L. We're talking about
Big L, rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely. I literally just had the name in mind and I totally forgot it just that quick. So I said Black Thought, Big L, Andre 3000.
Okay. How do you like his new album?
I really love it, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. Cause my thing is, It's such the troll you needed. It's such the unintended troll that you needed. Cause I know for a fact, even he said it, that everybody was looking forward to a Andre 3000 rapping album. Mm-hmm. So for him to come out and be like, listen, I can only do a flute album because that's what I've been inspired to do. It's just such a Andre 3000 thing to do. That is like, how could you be mad at it? And it's still an incredible body of work. I feel like from a rap person listening to another rap person playing a flute.
Yeah.
It's quality flute playing, right? So, I mean, is it the rap album that we wanted? No. But is it when you look at it from the perspective of music that's being created, it's a beautiful project. Yeah. Like, it's beautifully played flute. And I don't listen to a lot of flute players, so I'm sure somebody be like, well, fuck all that, man. You need to listen to this guy out in Peru. He's the craziest flute player ever. I wouldn't disagree with it. But, but I mean, it's fucking Andre 3000 playing a flute.
Yeah, true.
And granted, we've seen him, you know,
do everything
and do it at a high quality, at a high bar. And this, it doesn't take anything from it. It's just such a left field thing to do. But I think that's why it's an incredible thing, is because you wouldn't expect that from Andre.
Right.
So that's why it's amazing. But it's a good project. So, yeah, definitely put Andre in there. I'm not going to lie. They're going to argue. Kendrick Lamar's up there.
Okay.
When you want to talk lyricism.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to put me in five. Fuck it. I'll put myself in five.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn it. Right. Yeah. We're going to end it off like that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Man. Okay. All right.
Hell yeah. Love that confidence. Yeah.
See? I can't wait for everybody to disagree with me in the comments. The thing is, the issue is they're going to have to prove it. So.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. My daughter got me onto, I don't know if you like him or not, but J. Cole, man. And I was like, man, see, all right. There's a lot of this new shit out there, man. Mm-hmm. All right. How do you feel about the current state of hip hop right now?
So this is super interesting because hip hop is definitely in that. It's the 50th anniversary. Or last year was the 50th anniversary. So
I went to that concert.
You did? So
LL, what'd you think? Rakim, De La Soul.
See,
and who else was there? Not Juvenile.
Oh, yeah. Damn. See, and, yeah. That, and that's, I love yeah. that spectrum of artists from different mm-hmm. places. But I think the 50 years definitely kind of put a lot of things on display for hip hop as far as like the truth of it all. Because the thing is, a lot of for 50 years, the current talent that's currently being pushed out isn't the greatest. That's being pushed on the mainstream yeah. stuff. I'll say it. It's not the greatest music that's being pushed out. There's still some good stuff out there for sure. There's still yeah. good rap, good hip hop out there, but you really kind of have to search for it.
You do.
People be lazy. They don't want to search for that kind of music. Mm-hmm. They're going to listen to the radio. The radio is going to push whatever is popular. It's not, chances are it's not going to be the most quality thing that you're hearing, right? However, that's not to say there's not quality stuff being made. And I think that's the differentiation that's been made last year, because all the OGs that were going on tour were making bank the entire year. Yeah. Like all those 50 year anniversaries, they were killing their shows, making that money and just touring the entire time.
Right.
So the longevity is there. The money is there for artists and rappers. And I think it goes to show you when you put the talent, because these are the people that were making the real deal hit records. Even if it was just a one-off one-hand wonder, that one hit wonder was a hit. There was right. nothing you could deny about it. So you could tour off that one hit and any other songs that you had.
Young MC says, you know, most guys would be sick and tired of playing Bust the Move all the time, man. He says, I fucking love that song.
100%.
He goes, I'm so happy I made that song. He goes, because I'm still touring
exactly.
off of that one song, man. I'm still making money. And 2024, still making money off that song, man. I recorded it in 1983, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of the new folks, as we start moving into like the new era of rap music mm-hmm. and rap music not having that, because rap music has been the most popular music for the past 10, 15 years.
It is, yeah.
And there's just not a question against it. And I think that commercialism has definitely pointed out a lot of red flags and issues in the actual music business for rappers. But I think it's also put a really hard line in the sand of, listen, either you're going to do it for the art and take it to the art way,
right.
or you know there's money to be made in the music, but you kind of see what you have to do,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's just that you choose your own adventure.
Right.
Do you want the money and fame, or do you want to, I don't even want to say do it for the love of art. There's also money in the art side. It's just a little bit more effort to get to it.
It's a little bit different, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I asked my daughter, who's 16, I was like, yo, all right, who's the best rapper of all time? And her friend was sitting in the backseat with her. And it was quiet for like a minute. And they both said, well, Dad, it's no one now. She goes, the best rappers came out of your time. She goes, I don't know what, Dad, Biggie? I said, man, you just made me happy.
That's it. How old are they, can I ask?
They're both 16.
Okay. So they're listening to
Drake and a bunch of mm-hmm. other shit that uses that damn voice box. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I told her, I was like, yo, you know, rap's supposed to rhyme. She goes, well, you know, they're telling stories. I'm like, okay.
It depends on what you're listening for. Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of rappers that have not rhymed and, you know, it went well for them. It's better when you do. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's dope that they're able to catch that, you know, when you say who's the best rapper, you're kind of, it's hard to bring up some of the mainstream people as some of the best rappers, because It sounds like an old head thing to say, but it's like when we were coming up, we really had to choose between.
I am an old head, man. Sorry. So,
I'm seeing it as I've gotten older and kind of seeing that shift from CNR, the people that we were, because I grew up seeing Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole grow from the new artists to being the best of the best, the top three. Those are the big three when you start talking about the mainstream big rappers, the mm-hmm. best rappers. Those are the ones you're going to bring up. That are going to come up in every conversation, right? So we saw these guys come up and earn those spots. Whether whatever you want to argue, these guys have made hit songs. They have done very well at rapping. As far as you can make your arguments. You can say, oh well, you know, they use auto box, they use auto tune.
Yeah.
Ghost Riders, it always puts an asterisk next to your name when you bring it up.
Especially if you're rhyming, man.
Especially when you're rhyming. So then you start having other conversations. Well, damn, are you the best rapper? Are you the best artist? Do you blend the two? Yeah. Can you blend the two? Should you blend? You know, I think it all depends on what you ask. But I think at the end of the day, you can recognize the talent. You always are able to recognize the talent. The what they say, the cream's going to float to the top. The best of the best are going to show. And
sorry, Macho Man. Cream always rises to the top.
Recipes of Macho Man, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. But yeah, so you're always going to be able to pick out the quality in the music. I think the thing is, and again, going back to your question of what I think about the state of hip hop as of now, is hip hop is reaching its adulthood. We still have the younger acts coming out, finding their sound, finding their way, making their way to still make this profitable in their own way. It might not be the best, but that's how they're finding it out. And you have to search for what you like. You have to search for the rap. You have to search for the hip hop. And it's really for any music, but like when it really comes to rap, you have to search for
it. It is out there.
It's 100%. That's not without a question.
It's not easy to find. But I've found it. I found it in a lot of newer stuff. I don't know what you would consider new, but yeah,
absolutely.
Like Atmosphere, R.A. the Rugged Man, mm-hmm. Dresk 5, Dilated Peoples, man. I mean, those guys all put down some solid shit.
100%. And I mean, the crazy thing is, I can't even like, I didn't listen to a lot of new music last year just because I was just so uninterested in all of it. Okay. Like if it really wasn't a big name artist, I wasn't really paying attention to it because I just wasn't hearing anything that I wanted to listen to at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's really on me. That's not to say there wasn't music being dropped that was good. It's just, it didn't catch my attention. I didn't hear about it. I didn't go out the way to look for it just because I'm just kind of exhausted by all the antics, the ways to get streams, trying to boost your streams up. I always felt like a lot of the antics and the music business marketing, it unveiled a lot of the secrets and a lot of the magic of hip hop and music in general, where it's like, I know if I had $30,000, I'll be the next big thing. You give me $50,000, $100,000, I'll be the next biggest rapper because you know you can just pay for certain things and hit that. And it's not a secret anymore. And whether older acts were doing that or not, it doesn't even matter now because the sheer fact is that now that we know it can be done.
Right. It has changed.
It's changed.
Eventually, like back in the day, you had to go sling albums out of your trunk, man. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I mean, it's all right there on your phone. It's right here.
That's another
thing. The whole damn world is right here, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can find anything on there.
And the crazy thing, that's another reason why it's changed so much is that all you need is a phone. At the very least, if you have a phone and a iPod, and not an iPod, but the actual corded iPhones, you can make an album. You can make an actual fully mixed and mastered project on your phone for free. Put it on a streaming platform and be viral. Have your life change the very next day. And so many, but see, a lot of people see that and think that that's for them, ends up oversaturating the entire market. So now we just have everybody doing it.
Yeah.
And again, it makes it hard to find that quality. It's going to rise to the top, but people are going to have to look for it.
How did you get your name out there then?
So I do a lot of in-person, I go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Especially when I was like really moving and shaking. I haven't done it as much now. I definitely plan on changing that. But I was going out to shows and I just opened mics. I was going out to other people's shows just to show face, to show love and let them know that, hey, I'm here for you. And that in tune let people know that, listen, like, yo, FaZe is dope. I want to return that favor and see him. And it's always kind of been that situation. And then from there, I was able to just grow from there. And I think it's always been that mutual respect from artist to artist. Because a lot of the shows that I was coming up on were artists on shows. You know, we were throwing our own DIY shows for years and we've been doing that. And what came with that was actual press. Okay, so we were able to, as the press came in, we were able to find other avenues to be seen. We were able to get bigger stages because the press was behind us now. So it was just a lot of footwork, networking, talking. Yep. And that's really kind of where I started finding myself on bigger platforms is just shaking the right hands, meeting the right people, being professional, being on time and showing people that I'm serious about shit. Cause they'll say, damn, man, like we would have been doing this, but you know, the people that we tried to do before fucked the whole shit up, you know, they couldn't hold it down professionally long enough to be successful.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned that. They told me that. I'm like, well, shit, I just gotta tighten myself up. Be good to go. And that's been the case ever since. So yeah, that's definitely been a big help. Just being able to grow and being able to find other ways to be successful in the music scene. It's just by just being approachable.
Right.
And just being able to be like, hey, what's up, man? I'm so-and-so. And it doesn't have to be a big deal, a big thing. So
I think when I first texted you, like right after Ernest saw you, you answered me like immediately. And we've been kind of, you know, talking off and on, but you know, a lot of bands, a lot of artists, that shit goes unanswered, man. They don't even answer me. So, you know, for you to get back to me, and I was like, all right, you'll be the first guy out,
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm always grateful. And I always try to make sure I reach out to people that, and this goes for anybody that, you know, I feel like it takes a lot for somebody to reach out and do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm always grateful when somebody takes that time to be like, hey, even to say, hey, I like your music. Like, that's just, that means everything. But to actually involve me in what they got going on means even more. So if I'm able to, I'm always going to try to put myself in a position to where I can work with other people that are doing stuff, because that's what this shit is all about when it comes to being a creative, is creating. So why would I hold myself back from creating with other people?
Sure.
So hell yeah, absolutely.
How far have you gone for a show? Have you traveled anywhere out of North or South Carolina?
Oh, yeah. I think the furthest might have been Atlanta, but technically, unofficially, it's Denver, Colorado. I performed in Denver, Colorado last year. Shout out Lexi and my cousin Lexi and my cousin Kelly. They had a wedding out there last year, and we went out to the wedding, beautiful wedding, and we actually ended up performing at the Banshee House out there in Denver, Colorado. So, super cool, super kind of exclusive little joint they situated. Got off 3 songs. It was really cool just to be in a whole nother city, a whole nother state doing my thing and then receiving it.
It's a whole other vibe, right?
It's a whole nother vibe. And the crazy thing is, I mean, like, it's always interesting to see how much love you get outside of the home city.
Yeah.
But to know that, I think what's important is I try to add a lot of Charlotte into my music.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to perform Charlotte vibes in other cities and they receive it and reciprocate it, that's a different feeling. So, you know, it's big. And I'm big on traveling. I'm trying to be bigger on traveling. So I'm definitely trying to hit more spots. So I go to Virginia pretty often, Georgia. We definitely hit more states this year for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go on tour, man.
It's on the way, man. I did a little tour a couple of years ago. I want to expand it for this year. So we definitely hit more spots this year for sure.
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-mm. What do you do when you're not making music?
When I'm not making music, I'm chilling for the most part because I'm probably am working. I just took up a position in HR, human relations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've been doing that for probably about almost a month now. So it's been about 25 days since I started doing that.
Okay.
Never done anything like that before. So that's been kind of it's been cool. It's been really chill.
Have you had to fire anyone yet?
I've been firing people. I was a manager before then, so I've been firing motherfuckers. Right. So that, yeah. But man, this is more hiring. So I'm definitely hiring more people. Yeah. I started doing the orientations as well. So I'm inducting the people into the job and stuff like that. So it's definitely different being on that side of the job, because you know, either I'm doing the heavy lifting and then end up moving up to telling people to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Now I'm hiring the people to do the heavy lifting. So I'm moving on up on some inside shit. Yeah. It's been dope, but it's also given me, it's human relations for a reason. And I think it kind of intertwines with me as a musician and kind of how I push myself as an artist, because I really am, I'm aiming to be for the people as possible. I really do enjoy, you know, just getting to meet new people and just understanding what makes people tick and getting to know, like, hell, before we even did the podcast, we were just talking, shooting the shit about other stuff. So, I'm really big on that. And human relations has just given me enough knowledge and given me time to learn more about how people work in a work situation.
I don't know if you listen to any of our episodes.
I was watching the Jamie one earlier. Oh, yeah.
Talk about sports. Jamie's from Wisconsin. I'm from Detroit. So, when we start talking about sports, man, fucking Ernest is from Chicago.
That's one thing I did have to say. I don't want to say I got beef. Yeah.
Go ahead and say it. Fuck Chicago.
No. I definitely don't got no qualms with Chicago, especially with the way they be acting. But it's just.
Chicago is as bad as Detroit now.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, it can be that bad.
Sound like competition. The sheer fact that's got to be a competition.
Hey, wait. Hey, what time do the Bears play on Sunday?
Hey. That's just one thing.
Yeah.
but I totally forgot the whole train of thought I was going with that. But regardless, I don't like how y'all were shitting on Charlotte in that episode, and none of y'all are from Charlotte.
Okay. All right. Wait. We weren't. Okay. Yes, we were shitting on Charlotte, but a lot, man.
I'm waiting.
You said you're in your 30s, right?
30. Yep.
I moved here summer of 96. And every cool thing about Charlotte that was here when I first moved here, not only is it gone, it's demolished and completely gone. And it's a fucking apartment complex or a condo.
But that's y'all out of towners' fault, though.
No.
Yes. It's the 160 people moving in a day.
Every day.
And listen.
But
don't get me wrong.
But Charlotte still has, in no way has preserved history.
At all. And that's where I will agree with you, because Charlotte has not done itself any favors. And I this is really more my fault for not just being more aware of who is in position. But a lot of these folks, I could almost guarantee, are not from the city of Charlotte. As far as like the people that are making decisions on all the zoning, all the laws, all stuff like that. Because at the end of the day,
they're not.
A lot of this stuff is not geared towards natives of Charlotte.
I know for a fact. That those people are not Charlotte natives.
He used to work for the government.
I worked for the city of Charlotte.
So you already know where I'm coming 30 from.
30 years, So.
Ernest, that's what I'm talking about. So Ernest, a man that's worked with this shit, can tell you that these people do not have Charlatans in mind. And it's obvious. You bring the joke of there's an apartment complex everywhere is not a joke. Like, in places that don't need apartment complexes, they're building apartment complexes. Yeah. A lot of these apartment complexes are not even vacant. And that's not to say we don't have people coming here from outside places that aren't filling these places up. But that at the end of the day is why there is no history. There's no culture. That's why people come down any place they come down and say there's nothing to do in Charlotte. There's not shit to do in Charlotte. There's plenty of shit to do in Charlotte. There's a bunch of cool stuff to do in Charlotte. You wouldn't know where to go for Charlotte shit because everybody that you're talking to is not from fucking Charlotte. The people that you're asking to find out what's all the cool stuff to do in Charlotte are people from fucking Tennessee or Georgia.
Hey, what is there to do in Charlotte then?
Or New Jersey or Buffalo.
Listen, come to these local shows. Come to these actual real deal shows for bands, hip hop artists, our electronic DJs. We have way too much talent within the city of Charlotte that is homegrown, born and raised in Charlotte, that is putting out so much quality work as far as performances, music.
Tell us some venues where.
I was going to say,
listen, I'm big on, I got a show at Snug Harbor. March 2nd.
So
that's, I always started with Snug Harbor because that was probably one of my biggest dream places to perform at when I was coming up in Charlotte.
Yeah.
The thing is, you asked me what the places that are there to perform in Charlotte. We done tore half of the bitches down.
I know.
Four apartment complexes.
I know. That's what we're saying.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
We were shitting on Charlotte, but we're kind of not.
But the thing is, though, is that you are shitting on Charlotte and it's not geared towards you guys, but again, it is, because at the end of the day, you have people that are not from Charlotte shitting on Charlotte because they don't understand Charlotte.
So I've been here 27 years. I'm now from Charlotte.
You and a majority of people in Charlotte are not from Charlotte.
I
really want people to kind of like sit down and think, how can any place have an identity when the people aren't from that place, when a majority of the people aren't from that place.
Right.
Right.
I know maybe a handful of people that are from here.
We call you now.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Like, is the running joke is if you're a charlatan in Charlotte, you're a unicorn. Like, yeah, what kind of shit does that, what kind of sense does that make when you're a rarity in your own hometown? Right. And it is, and it's not a joke. Like 7 out of 10 people, if you ask where they're from, they're not going to say Charlotte, North Carolina.
No. Absolutely.
They're not. And it's, and it's the scariest thing, because it's like you see the detriment to the community because now it's just about money.
Yeah.
And it's so blatant. Again, going back into the music, going back into the music conversation, a lot of this shit really be about money. If it don't make money, a lot of people aren't going to be worried about it. And if it does make money, they're going to bulldoze anything and everything they got to do.
They're
going to
milk that some bitch until its
they
last
will
drop.
Tear shit down in a heartbeat.
I'm trying to tell you. And I don't want to be the guy on the soapbox. Like, you need to change this. You need to go back to the old ways. It's all about progress. There's progress will always need to be made, right?
Yes.
There will need to be places for people to live.
Yep.
We are more than willing to invite people outside of Charlotte to come and kick it with us. I met plenty of people. I know you guys. I've spoken with you guys. I've spoken with plenty of people that are not from Charlotte. Amazing people. But it's like, they're not contributing anything to the community because again, they either can't or don't care to.
So
Jamie's from Wisconsin and he contributes to this.
But there you go.
Yeah,
more than anyone. Yeah.
So the last episode that published of Behind the Beer, it's with Ted Rosano of Petty Thieves Brewing.
Yeah.
And
I was there for that one, wasn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. And now he's talking about, he goes, there needs to be growth. There needs to be residential. He's like, but the mistake that developers make is not everything needs to be a luxury apartment or a condo.
Right. It needs to be some affordable shit, dude.
Absolutely.
Because, all right, you can push out the poor people, but where the fuck are they going to go?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it can't be all.
And that's a big thing. It's happened.
Not everyone can afford $3,000 to $4,000 for a one bedroom apartment, man. That's some bullshit, dude. That's more than my mortgage on my 4-bedroom house in Southside suburbia, dude. I mean,
I know a lot of people who pay twice as much as my mortgage for a quarter of what I have.
Wow.
And they have dogs that just go shit in like a little corner of the block every day and go back in the apartment and do nothing all day long, man.
And at the end of the day, that ends up being the culture of Charlotte.
Yeah.
That is what, when you think of Charlotte, they're going to say, oh, apartment complexes.
Breweries.
Banking. Finances. Yeah. Financing,
lawyers.
Those are things that are part of Charlotte. You know, that we definitely have that in spades, but it's so much more deeper because a lot of people wouldn't even know that Charlotte's a jazz city.
Yeah.
Charlotte's a big jazz city, was propped up as a jazz city. They have plenty of jazz players coming out here going crazy in the city of Charlotte. You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't understand that. You wouldn't know any of the jazz clubs because
what are some jazz clubs?
I couldn't tell you because they're torn down. My father was a jazz player. So he told me the golden days of him just being able to club hop around, play clubs, play a saxophone, and just be able to go to plenty of just high quality jazz performances that were just coming out and going crazy in Charlotte. Yeah. Again, you wouldn't know that because that's just, there's just no upkeep in the history of Charlotte. Yeah. So it really does. It does give you the look that Charlotte doesn't care about Charlotte. It just looks like, hey, come here, spend your money. Come here. We're just a big tourist city or come here, bring your family, raise your family, have a nice place to bring your family, which is cool, but there's not going to be anything for them to latch on. So when it's time for them to leave, they don't give a fuck about Charlotte. They'll go to LA. They'll go to Atlanta. They'll go to New York, Texas, any place that seems to be the bigger place because that place has the history to connect it. That's why they're drawn to it. That's why, because they have the rappers, they have the singers, songwriters, they have the creative fucking background to make it New York, to make it LA, to make it Texas. That's why everybody wants to go there. So it's funny. It's just really funny how a lot of the shit backfires on itself and people are just too, either, I don't know if it's just too much ego, too stubborn, or the money's too good. But that's don't know. It's crazy.
But you're right, though. There are a lot of really good Charlotte acts. Charlotte bands.
A lot.
And I have a friend of mine that, and I'm not going to knock Amos's, but he was like, man, you know, I have friends that are in bands that say they make more money doing cover shows than they do making their own music. I'm like, I don't know what bands you're listening to. Because all the bands I see in town are doing pretty good.
Crazy.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Speaking about jazz, and I need to go back and look. I hadn't talked to him in years. But Delano Little, when he retired from WBTV, told me that he was opening a jazz club uptown. But then COVID hit, lost contact, and I have no idea if that ever happened.
You know what? Speaking of COVID, though, I think a lot of this shit changed since COVID.
That's a big reason.
COVID hit and all those venues had to close or shut down for a time. And then, I mean, a year, almost a year without the going to show. Matter of fact, the first show I went to was with Javier after COVID. And we went to go see, now I'm not knocking Hopeless Odors. I doubt you guys ever listened to the show, but it's not our shit. It's not our band. We're like, we got to go see a fucking show. We got to go do something. But the Milestone, it was at the Milestone. Gotcha. That place almost closed.
That's crazy to think that Milestone.
Thank God it didn't.
Shout out Milestone.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, speaking of the Milestone.
Oh, God. Before you say what you say, shout out Milestone. We did a sold out show with Welcome to the Family Fest last year.
Did you really?
Yeah. So before anything crazy gets said, I just want to
This is all positive. This is funny.
Okay. I just had to be sure.
So,
we're not detrimental on Milestone.
No, we fucking love that place, dude.
That's one of the few places that is still historical in Charlotte.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That place has been around since the
1969.
60s, yeah.
100%.
Ernest and I went and saw the Coffee Cats there.
Beep, beep.
2 weeks ago, was it? I don't know. Sunday night or some shit?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And, I like to get in the pit a lot. I like to mosh. I'm a big dude. And I'm almost 90% sure Ernest is going to post his damn video once I talk about it.
It's going to be on this episode.
Yeah, I know.
There's videos. No, I've definitely got some videos.
I hopped in there, dude. I was standing there, and some dude crushed my beer. And I was like, man, what the fuck? You know, so I threw it. No, I think I handed the crush can to you.
Yeah, you did.
And I hopped in the pit. I started skanking, and I wasn't even in the 2 seconds. And bloop, my knee gave out. And bloop, I went down. I went down like a damn sack of potatoes, man.
I got out of the pit. That's crazy.
I got up and I was like, man, I guess that's karma telling me to stay out of the hell.
That's Guinness World Record for shortest skank ever.
It was, you know, I sent that to my sister. She goes, you know, that was the slowest fall ever. I'm like, I can't stop myself from falling. But shout out to the Coffee Cats. Shout out to Garden City, Michigan. They're from my hometown in Michigan. They came through the Milestone. They played a kick-ass show, man. They're still on tour. The tour's almost over. But when the tour's over, they'll be on this podcast. So, So Coffee Cats are a psychobilly band from Garden City.
Say psychobilly?
Psychobilly. It's rockabilly, but it's in like a horror theme type of deal. Yeah.
That's a thing. Is it just punk?
It's punk.
Okay.
Stand-up bass.
Everything. He's got a stand-up bass.
Got you.
Yeah.
That's the punk part about it. I used to play stand-up bass.
Oh, really?
Very terrible. Matter of fact, funny story. I played, it was back in when I was going to Marigi Davis. Was that middle school? Marigi Davis Middle School. I was in band. I didn't want to be, not band. It wasn't band. It was choir. I was in like orchestra. That's what it was.
Okay.
The class was orchestra. I was forced to play the double bass. I hated that fucking class. We had to do an actual show at the end. I don't think it was the end of the year, but we had to set up a show. I fake playing the bass. It was for a grade and everything. And who's gonna know? And nobody did. Matter of fact, I was so over in that. I was so over being in that class. I told him straight up after that show, I didn't play that shit. I was pretending to play that entire. My grandma came out to see me.
You're talking about with a bow?
With a bow and everything. Yeah, no, listen.
On a stand-up bass.
On a stand-up bass.
Oh, hell. I'd,
you know what?
It if was, I wasn't playing it for real, I'd be you know spinning what? That thing around.
Coffee cats have that shit over their head playing it.
Listen, I'm like, it was a double bass. That's what it was. It was a fucking double bass motherfucking shit. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
Still, but like I know it's different, but still, like that shit, just the sheer fact of playing an instrument in general was something that I just wasn't used to at that time.
Yeah.
So that was probably a bad introduction to it, to playing instruments, because I've yet to play anything real other than like a couple keys on the piano. But that gave me a bad taste in my mouth trying to play instruments just because I wasn't feeling the double bass. So yeah.
You kind of want to play what you're playing. You don't want to be like, I don't want to play this shit.
100%. 100%. Yeah, so, you know, rest in peace, Mama Hattie. I didn't want to tell her that, but I was always just being honest. I know. Yeah. I gotta be honest. Man. I didn't want to play that shit. I didn't play it. And I stood on business that night. So, you know, but people should learn how to play an instrument at some point in time. Even if it's just rudimentary shit, I think that's just a simple way to just let out some creativity. Just learning the instrument. She ain't got to be fucking Beethoven or anything. Just a couple keys.
I know how to play the Star
reading,
Wars theme
reading music.
Exactly.
On the piano. That's about it.
That's fire.
But I'm also a DJ on the turntables. And I have a podcast. That's about it.
That's fire.
Everyone asked me, they're like, are you the band or do you ride a Harley? I said, the only instrument I play are the turntables and I drive a Ford Edge. Sorry.
You're not hitting the marks
that
you're supposed to be.
That's all right.
Tragic.
It's okay.
Yep. I'm rolling down the road in my Ford Escape.
Yep. Full of stickers. Anyways. I think that's about it, man. I think that's it.
Hold on a minute.
Wait.
Hold on.
What do you got?
I need to find out what's coming up next for Face Guy.
Oh, shit. You're right. I completely forgot to ask that.
For those that care.
Oh. Ernest. Oh, man.
No, man. I got some plans on the way. Definitely got new music on the way. We actually just dropped a, single has been released. Damn, I done forgot my single. Honestly, it's one of those singles where I got to go back and retweak it. So, matter of fact, when you guys get a chance, I want you guys to go ahead and check it out. It's called Let's Get To It. I want you guys, since you guys are music guys, let me know if it's a good mix or not. Because I might need to go back and remix the shit when you get a chance. I actually didn't send it because I feel like it needs to be remixed.
Okay.
So, that's probably why you didn't get it. But, just drop my single Let's Get To It. That's going to slide into a whole new project that I'm looking to drop in the next couple months. I'm gonna keep that a little hush, but definitely got new music dropping. I'm actually gonna be doing some out of town recording soon with some pretty popular folks, so that's gonna be a really fun situation that we got going. But do got my first show March 2nd at Snug Harbor, so that's gonna be me.
We'll be there.
Listen, I got drinks with your name on if you slide through.
All right, cool.
So we're gonna definitely go crazy. But listen, me, Jay Storm, Rad Dre, Collective Insanity. Are you guys familiar with Collective Insanity?
I've heard the name.
Yes.
If y'all haven't, y'all need to check the motherfuckers out. Shout out DJ King Rash and all his boys in Collective Insanity. But that we talking about like real deal shredder rock metal motherfuckers. Like y'all, they're the
okay.
So that I think I didn't hear it from them. I heard it from a whole another person. So that's how you know it's real. But they're like a gem in like the Carolinas as far when it comes to like rock bands. So like if you really tapped in, you really know who's who.
Hidden gems.
Collective Insanity is definitely one of them. So I did a feature for one of their newest projects, my first rock feature that I did. So, you know, it's again, it goes back to expanding and extending that lane and having that variety and being able to hit different peaks. So shout out Collective Insanity. New music definitely on the way. More shows on the way. We definitely doing some traveling and things of that nature. But as of right now, and definitely make sure you guys follow me, Phase God, PHAZEGAWD 704. If you Google it, you'll find everything that you need to, including my website, www.praisephasegod.com. That's all I got. Man, honestly,
thank you for being on the show,
brother. I appreciate y'all having me. Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you.
What are we closing out with?
What song, man? What have we not played yet?
I feel like you almost played all of them.
I don't think we played Gateway yet.
Gatekeep
though.
The City. No,
yeah, we haven't played that one. No.
Matter of fact, 100%, because this is for the city of Charlotte. Matter of fact, shout out Charlotte, man. I love y'all. And I love Charlotte, Thank you.
We love Charlotte too.
Man.
I've been here since 95, so it's pretty much home.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. Charlotte is home for a lot of people, and they don't even want to admit that. So maybe next time. Recognize real, you don't get a real brief. I can't keep the city, they gave me the king. Shit to a hard head, let a hoe breathe. Nigga do magic, ain't shit on my sleeve. I apply more pressure, get the word they squeeze. I might do them dirty, unworthy of sleaze. Real recognize real, you don't get a real brief. I can't keep the city, they gave me the king. Put on this trench, I feel just like a Morpheus. I know I'm the one that's redundant.
Thank you for listening to Invibes Podcast, home of good music, good libations, and good vibes. Please rate, like, and subscribe to us on your favorite listening platform. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, consider supporting Invibes Podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. You can find the link on our Spotify show page. Email us at invibespodcast@gmail.com if you would like to be a guest or have an idea of a guest we should interview. Invibes Podcast is produced by BWM Productions. The opinions expressed by guests on Invibes Podcast are not necessarily the opinions of the Invibes team or BWM Productions. Shit to a hard head, let a hoe breathe. Nigga do magic, ain't shit on my sleeve. I apply more pressure, get the word they squeeze. I might do them dirty, unworthy of sleaze. Real, recognize real, you don't get a reprieve. I can't keep the city, they gave me the key. Can't keep the city, they gave me the key.